Welcome to the Food for Your Souls podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. When someone asked Jesus, what's the most important thing in the whole Bible? Jesus didn't hesitate. Love God. We pray this season of the podcast will help you and your loved ones grow in love for God.
Let's move on to fellowship with the Son. Second member of the Trinity. How do we interact in delightful, soul-satisfying ways with Jesus? When we speak of all the wonderful truths of the Father, all these amazing things, His love, it's important to realize that we are talking about things that are far beyond our reach. God the Father is further from our reach than the farthest galaxies. You're going to go to Him from here, you're just going to travel to heaven, and you traveled at the speed of light, and you went all the way through the known universe, you passed the end of the known universe, which would be 46 billion years of light speed travel. After you traveled that far on your way to heaven, that would be like trying to get to the sun and going 1 millimeter. And even if you could somehow travel all the way to heaven, it wouldn't do you any good because you'd be instantly incinerated by the holiness of God as soon as you got near. Traveling to the sun would actually be a little safer. There are no words that can possibly communicate how impossible it is for puny, sinful man to ever approach God the Father. When people invent human religions, and they imagine that through their religious work or good efforts, they can make it to heaven, somehow contact God through their efforts. When they think that, they're thinking like little children who look up at the stars and think, oh, if I could just climb up on top of the house, I could maybe reach them. It's a fantasy. People have no idea how vast is the separation between God and man, between heaven and earth. But God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, bridged that gap. I could never presume to summarize all that Jesus is to us in one sermon, but if we had to boil it all down, if we had to boil everything Scripture says about God the Son down to one basic idea, I think it would be this, that Jesus is the connection between heaven and earth. He's the connection between heaven and earth. He's the only connection. The only one. That's why Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except through me, because there's no other connection. Jesus stands between heaven and earth with one hand on the Father and one hand on us so that we can interact with the Father. That's the only way. All of the benefits from heaven that come to us pass through Jesus Christ. There's no other connection. Not only is there no other way to get from earth to heaven, there's no other way to get from heaven to earth except through Jesus. And here's why. The thing that separates us from God the Father is not distance. You know, I illustrated it a minute ago with distance, traveling at the speed of light and all that, but that was just an illustration. It's not distance. The problem isn't that heaven is far away geographically. The thing that makes it so impossible for us to reach heaven, to interact with God, is not distance, but wrath. It's His wrath, His anger over our sin. That's what separates us. He's too holy to look upon sin, period. Any sin. His justice and His hatred of evil are so perfect that if there were ever a sinful being in His presence, He would have to instantly thrust that being into eternal hell and pour out all of His furious wrath on him on the spot. So that's what created the separation. And so God the Son became man. And 2,000 years ago, He was born in this world. That's Jesus. And He was crucified. And while He was on the cross, He suffered in our place. He took all the guilt of our sin upon Himself and paid the debt that we owed. He paid it 100%. Every dime. Everything. And not only was our sin credited to His account so that He had to suffer the punishment for it, but also His righteousness, His perfect righteousness, was credited to our account. His goodness, His perfect holiness, and His favor with the Father was all given to us, credited to us the moment we believed. He lived a perfect life in our place, and then He died in our place. And so now that our debt has been paid, and now that justice has been done completely, and perfect righteousness has been credited to our account, we can approach the Father because of the cross, only because of the cross. Remember that old song, that Point of Grace song, The Great Divide? It's a great song. I love the words of that song. It's a song about the infinite separation between sinful man and holy God, and they call that separation the Great Divide in the song. And the chorus at the beginning was, "There's a bridge to cross the Great Divide. A way was made to reach the other side. The mercy of the Father cost His Son His life." There's a bridge to cross the Great Divide. And at the end of the song, the chorus switches around. It says, instead of "there's a bridge to cross the Great Divide," it's "there's a cross to bridge the Great Divide." Which is a great play on words, and that's exactly the point. It's the cross that bridges that divide. Now, in 2 Corinthians 13:14, which summarized the role of the Father, Son, and the Spirit, that's kind of our theme verse through this section, we found that the main thing that we receive from the Father is love, right? What's the main thing we receive from the Son? Remember that verse? The main thing we get from the Father is love. The main thing we get from the Spirit is fellowship. What's the main thing we receive from God the Son? Grace. Grace. So let's talk for a minute about grace. What is grace? Let's define it. Grace is, it's a word that has a huge semantic range. It's used a lot of different ways in Scripture. But the most basic root meaning of grace is this. Grace is that which supplies joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, loveliness, or well-being. That's grace. And in the New Testament, the emphasis is on the fact that it's a gift. It's always a gift, which represents the favor of the giver. When you get this gift, what it means is the giver saying, "You have my favor. I'm pleased with you." So the grace of God is when the Lord favors you and expresses that favor by giving you a gift that contributes to your well-being in a delightful way. That's what grace is. Okay? We experience God's favor only through the Lord Jesus Christ. We receive God's love only through Christ. There's no benefit that we receive from God, none, that doesn't come through Jesus and only through Jesus. Even common grace, even the sunrise, even the things that the gifts that God gives all human beings, like the rain and all the wonders of the creation, everything God put in this world, all of that was purchased on the cross. You realize that? When He died on the cross, He didn't just purchase our salvation. He didn't just pay for our sin. He purchased every single benefit that ever comes from heaven to sinful man. That's why, prior to the cross, God's kindness to humanity seemed like injustice. For all the years from the fall until Jesus, God was having mercy. He wasn't instantly thrusting all sinners into hell. He was even saving people who believed, who were sinners. The only way God could do any of that, could give any benefits to sinful man, was because He knew the cross was coming. And that price would be paid. Romans 3:25. God presented Jesus as a sacrifice of atonement. He did this to demonstrate His justice because in His forbearance, He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate His justice at the present time. So everything that ever happens or that ever could happen that isn't punished, that isn't punishment for sin, anything that ever happens that's not punishment for sin can happen only because Jesus purchased that kindness on the cross. So all the benefits received from God, all grace, comes only through Jesus. Jesus is our mediator, our go-between. One hand in heaven, one hand on us. He's the only connection between heaven and earth. Romans 8:34. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Jeff read Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, He is able to save completely those who have come to the Father through Him, because He always lives to intercede for them. So Jesus stands before the Father and intercedes. Intercedes on our behalf. He's speaking up for you before the Father. And that is a doctrine that, frankly, I have to say, baffled me for a very long time. For the longest time, many years, the doctrine of Jesus' intercession just had me perplexed and kind of bothered me for a couple of reasons. One, I didn't understand why it happened in an ongoing way. The price was paid 2,000 years ago. The price was paid. Why does Jesus have to keep on pleading on my behalf day after day now in the present? I mean, the Father's not forgetful. He didn't forget about the cross. He doesn't have to be reminded, oh, the price was paid, the price was paid. So why is Jesus continually having to do that? The Father accepted that price once. Why does Jesus have to keep on pleading for me? That's one thing that bugged me. The other thing that I couldn't understand was the fact that the doctrine of intercession kind of makes it sound like the Father and the Son are on two different pages. You know, it makes it seem like the Father keeps wanting to go the way of judgment, but Jesus persuades him to go the way of mercy instead. If the Father's natural inclination is to show me mercy, then why does Jesus have to constantly plead with him to do so? And if he's not inclined towards mercy, if he's inclined more towards judgment, but Jesus is inclined towards mercy, then it seems like you have a division within the Godhead. Two different natures. So that was the second thing that really perplexed me for many years. The answer to both those problems finally became clear when we went through 1 John and I studied the history of intercession in the Bible. If you just look up all the times that somebody intercedes in Scripture, you find a very interesting thing. I studied Moses and Samuel pleading for disobedient Israel, or Abraham for Sodom, or Job praying for his friends. And the thing that I finally realized was the fact that the purpose of intercession is when God wants to show how much He favors one special particular servant. And so He shows how much He shows His favor for that person by blessing whoever that person prays for. So when God wanted everybody to know how much He favored Moses, how special Moses was, the way God showed that was by having mercy on anybody that Moses would pray for. And you see that in passages like Jeremiah 15:1, Ezekiel 14:14. You see that in the book of Job. Remember at the end of Job, God was inclined to have mercy on those friends. And so Job 42:7, after the Lord had said these things to Job, he said to Eliphaz the Temanite, I am angry with you and your two friends, because you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has. Verse 8, my servant Job will pray for you, and I will accept his prayer and not deal with you according to your folly. Verse 9, so they did what the Lord told them, and the Lord accepted Job's prayer. Now, was that a situation where Job was merciful and God wasn't, and Job had to talk God into being merciful? No, not at all. The merciful part was God's idea to begin with. He was eager to show mercy to those three friends, but He decided to give it, to grant that mercy, only in response to Job's prayer in order to show those men how pleased He was with Job. See that? The reason God shows us no mercy apart from Jesus' intercession is so that all the mercy that He gives us ends up showing His favor of and His love for His Son. He wants to show us mercy, but He wants it to, every time He does it, to be a favor that He's doing for His Son. God will not forgive us any sin, and God will not give us any blessing except as a favor to Jesus. And it's not that God the Father is reluctant to forgive or reluctant to show mercy. It's just that He wants all His mercy to be given as a favor for His Son for the purpose of honoring His Son. When it's a favor to His Son, then God can't give mercy fast enough. It would be a bad thing for us to receive favor from God apart from the intercession of Jesus, because Christ being honored is more important than us being blessed. So the Father's biggest agenda item is His Son be honored and loved. And so He blesses us in a way that always does that. John 5:22, the Father judges no one but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. The Son's honor is just supremely important. And that's what God the Father cares about more than anything else. So when you think of Jesus interceding for us, don't think of the Father as being reluctant. It's just the opposite. He's the one who initiated this whole thing. Just like He did with Job, He did with Jesus. 1 John 4:10, this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a propitiation for our sins. Whole thing is the Father's doing. The whole thing. That's why grace comes to us from the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of salvation and the grace of every other blessing that we get from the Father, including every breath you take, was purchased on the cross, granted willingly and eagerly on behalf of the wishes of God's beloved Son, who requests those blessings for us every day. Every blessing you ever receive, every bite of food you ever enjoyed, every moment that you're ever protected from disaster, every pair of shoes that He's ever provided you, every sin He's ever forgiven, every moment of fun, every moment of enjoyment you've ever had in your life, every one is a divine declaration of the worth and honor and glory and worthiness of His Son. What an amazing thing. God has come up with this way to make His blessing you an honoring of Christ. So should you pray for blessing? Yes. You better believe it. Ask for lots of blessing from God, because Jesus will pass those requests on to the Father so that the Father will have plenty of occasions to say, "This is how much I love my Son." Pray for blessing. For the sake of Christ, pray for blessing in love.
Thank you for listening. We would love to hear from you. Your thoughts about the materials in these studies are important to us, and they may be helpful for others as well. A link to this podcast is posted on the Food for Your Soul Facebook page every weekday morning. You're invited to follow that page and post your reactions to that day's content. Your perspective might be just what someone else needs to gain insight. And when a session is especially helpful, feel free to click on the share button so others can find it too.
This content has been provided to you free of charge by the generous supporters of Food for Your Soul Ministries. For information on how you can support Food for Your Soul, visit us online at treasuringgod.com. There you'll find over 1,000 sermons, as well as articles, books, and many other resources, all available for free download.
Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always, and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.